The Obama administration presented Congress with their 2016 federal budget. After cheering that federal spending had been cut dramatically by his administration, this budget throws all that into reverse with the return of a $4 trillion budget padded with new tax proposals presented as a quote-unquote path for the growth of the middle class, unquote. Here too with his analysis of this budget plan and potential impact if it were to stand as presented is the Vice President for Policy and Director of Technology Studies with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Wayne Cruz. Good morning, Wayne.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you back here. CEI.org on the web. Learn more about these issues and other studies at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Picks apart, dissects, and helps you gain a greater understanding with. You know what? When they talk about nuclear energy, they always talk about reactors being stable so nothing bad happens. So with that concept in mind, how stable or unstable is the proposed 2016 budget?
Well, the economy is said to be in recovery now, but the problem is that the recovery is coming from much lower levels now, and all of the new data you see is people are still having trouble finding work. The number of people in the labor force is low, is low as it's been in a long, long time. You mentioned the return of $4 trillion budgets, and that's exactly what this is. It took us until Reagan to get a $1 trillion budget. Under George Bush, the second George Bush, we got our $2 trillion budget and our $3 trillion budgets. And that rapidly, we've gone up to four. Obama's new budget is claiming middle class. He wants to boost middle class economics, but he can do that without these attacks on high earners that are in this budget. That's the thing that concerns me. You can offer tax breaks to middle income workers and to two income families and things like that. Just by looking at the federal spending that's in place now, he didn't talk much about spending. He said the deficit is down, but the CBO is projecting that the deficit is going to go back to $1 trillion by 2025. Obama's budget says it's only going to be around $500 billion. He's just not recognizing the cost of all of these new programs.
Of course, when he says $500 billion for a deficit, that's a quote-unquote manageable deficit.
Well, he thinks that's manageable. I thought it was curious that we just hit an $18 trillion federal debt in December, which was the same month that the Chinese economy overtook the United States economy as the largest in the world. Now, they have a much, much worse picture per capita in China than we do, but these kinds of things are really significant. But in looking at this budget, It's a growth in spending. It's new proposals for infrastructure. Yet at the same time, he's got these new proposals for so-called net neutrality that he's pushed since November, and that the FCC chairman Tom Wheeler just came out. Government regulation of infrastructure. It works against the very concept of expanding infrastructure. But his idea of more infrastructure is new taxes, more spending of $500 billion or so in this new budget. I just think that if you imagine the federal government trying to do our health care, trying to regulate financial services the way it's doing, moving into infrastructure regulation, you start to realize that alongside the spending is also a lot of regulation. And I think that's something we really need to pay attention to, because even if we were to balance this budget, and believe me, nobody's anywhere close to doing that, but even if we were to balance this budget, you've got the federal government in the driver's seat in so many sectors of our economy that I think it makes recovery very difficult. Now, I put out numbers every year. I do this report called 10,000 Commandments, surveying regulatory costs and things like that, because regulations are a hidden tax to me. But I'm not pessimistic when I give these numbers. I think in this economy, you don't have to tell the grass to grow. You just have to take the rocks off of it. But this budget just doesn't meet that kind of test. It sets high-income people against middle-income people and vice versa. It thinks that government needs to be in the driver's seat of our new infrastructure and to regulate more. And it just takes the wrong approach for the country, in my view. We could achieve all of these things. I think real middle-class economics, which is what he's made the rallying cry for the budget, and as he did in the State of the Union address, the real middle-class economics is removing the rocks so that lower-income people can become middle-class, and so the middle-class people can become high-income people, and so they all can work together, be employed, create jobs without all of these unnecessary regulatory barriers and red tape that we have. If he needs money for tax breaks, that money is available. I was just looking at the Cato Institute does a really wonderful downsizing government website. And the Commerce Department has subsidies that it's paying out to business that could be gotten rid of. The Agriculture Department has billions in subsidies that could be gotten rid of. You can just go agency by agency that he wants to beef up, but instead look at what they're doing, look at the spending that all of these agencies are doing. And it's not just Cato. GAO has put out a report like this. The Congressional Budget Office puts out a reducing spending options booklet. Not booklet, it's a huge book, every year. And so there are ways to rein in the growth of government and really advance middle-class economics, in my view.
So Wayne Cruz, who is the Vice President for Policy, Director of Technology Studies with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org on the web. And you were listening to Issues and Ideas. You mentioned, too, about how the budget plan increases regulations in a variety of ways. And people, the layperson thinks as regulations, and certainly presented by this administration, as something that guides, directs, streamlines, brings efficiency to whatever is taking place. Talk about how regulations create costs.
You have to be careful because when you hear a free market guy like me say regulations go too far, that doesn't mean free markets are laissez-faire. It doesn't mean there's no regulation. Your question is just whether politicians are going to do it best or whether there are market disciplines that can handle things better. Remember, no company operates in a vacuum. You know, if Walmart misbehaves and tries to monopolize, it's got suppliers who are going to protest and make it roll back. So every company's got its business suppliers, its downstream business customers, its consumers, Wall Street, the media. All these forces are arrayed against companies that misbehave. So there's no such thing as no regulation. But the thing that's occurring here is the things that we value, food safety, privacy, cybersecurity, more telecommunications access, all of those are forms of wealth. And markets are pretty good at expanding wealth. So you have to be careful that the regulations you impose don't end up hurting the thing that you really value. Sometimes there's tainted meat, but meat's approved by the USDA in the country. The federal government, chairman of the Federal Communications Commission came out with new proposals for so-called net neutrality for the government to regulate access on the Internet. They actually use the word utility. They want to regulate the Internet as a utility. Now, I don't know of folks who see the utilities as bastions of public service and innovation and growth and things like that. We have lots of things that we're debating now, cybersecurity and privacy online. The market's got a huge role to play in advancing those, and regulations can undermine them. So you just have to be very, very careful. That's why it's really important that we have hearings on these things in Congress. But also, if an agency wants to put out a big rule, if it thinks it really has the answer and wants to put out a big rule on healthcare or on renewable energy or environmental protection or privacy or cybersecurity, at the very least, those rules ought to go to Congress for a quick up or down approval. And there are some provisions that it's passed in prior Congresses, but in the new Republican majority, House and Senate, there's legislation to require just that, to say, the agencies can put out these rules, but we want to have a look at them and okay it. And that sort of gets at the question of you were talking about regulatory costs. We can have those regulatory costs, but we just need to have accountability for them. Right now, we don't. Agencies can issue rules and really do it in an unaccountable way that they don't answer to anyone. And a lot of this occurred this week with the behind-the-scenes machinations to get this net neutrality rule out. But you can have Congress approve these rules, and then you don't have to worry so much about cost because then, at least at the ballot box, you've got some say. You don't have that with the bureaucracies.
Now, obviously, when any presidential budget comes before Congress, it's DOA because something in it is going to change, and this is going to be think about this too, Wayne. With all the years we've had continuing resolutions instead of actual budgets going on, and the new Republican leadership in both chambers saying none of that anymore, we're actually going to go back to the old school way of putting together an actual budget. For a lot of the members of both chambers, it's going to be a new experience.
It's going to be a new experience for the guys who've been in for the past few sessions. They've never seen anything like it before. But it's a different mindset and a way of operating the federal government. And we're out of this shutdown mode because when you're back in regular order, if there are provisions like we're having discussions about it with regard to net neutrality, and FCC's overreach, you can defund or require that agencies not use any of their funding for particular programs that Congress objects to, and you don't shut down the entire government. And this was the normal way we would do things with the 13 appropriations bills going through. There are things you fund and things you don't. And that's the way, that's the normal way things work. And Congress does have to be in charge. But, yeah, budgets are DOA. They're proposals. They give you kind of a framework, and it's always interesting to look at the projections for spending that the administration's put out and that the CBO projects when it does its annual. They usually do it in January, February, their budget options books that come out, and see which ones are more accurate. The CBO tends to be a little more accurate. But things do just grow rather than shrink.
We've seen that time. Pick a budget, any budget, state, federal, even local.
Exactly. Well, I'm looking forward to the time. I always say that when we're doubling our GDP and doubling growth rather than doubling our government spending and regulations. I'm optimistic.
Yeah, this is a dream I hope comes true as well. We've been joined this morning by the Vice President for Policy and Director of Technology Studies with the Competitive Enterprise Institute at CEI.org on the web. Wayne Cruz, thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.